warning. The Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not so fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
Welcome to The Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. I'm Adam Minahan, sitting here in studio with my bud, David Niles. Dave?
Yes.
Welcome.
Thank you.
I felt like I needed to welcome you.
Thank you.
I don't ever welcome you to the show, so I felt like it was something that I needed to do.
You know what? I appreciate that.
You're welcome. If this is your first
time... Adam.
Yes.
Welcome.
Oh, thank you. No one ever has welcomed me.
Well, you can't say that anymore.
Yeah. Well, if this is your first time listening to The Catholic Man Show, we do three things every episode. Dave, you want to tell them what it is?
The three things that we do. Number one, we open, review, and enjoy a manly beverage. Number two, we highlight a man gear of some kind. This is something that every man should have and use, especially the Catholic man. And the third thing we do is have what has come to be known as the most manly discussion you've ever heard in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the three things.
Those are the three things
we
do.
That's them.
So, and this episode, we actually are going to up the manliness one more. Like, dude, we've been having some stellar guests on the show the last, four episodes?
Yeah, man.
We're killing it.
I don't even know how it's just like these guests show up and they're on the show.
Well, very few people are going to know our guest this go around. It's going to be somebody you're not really going to ever hear in the Catholic media, but we welcome Mr. Patrick Coffin. Patrick, great to have you on.
That's my certifiable fake stadium applause line. Gentlemen, it's good to be with you. It's good to be Catholic. It's good to be a man. It's good to be on your show.
It's great. Well,
it's still off virtual reality.
Yeah, that is right now. Oh, you gave it away.
No.
Patrick, you just started your new show. I think most of our listeners know this because we have pushed your show, but the Patrick Coffin Show has now launched off the platform. Tell us how it's going so far.
It's going surreally good, and I just deem surreally as an actual word. I'm flummoxed and speechless and humbled and very happy about how the launch went. We started our first broadcast on the 1st of February, and we launched three shows that day. And then we've gone Monday, Wednesday, Friday for the first 2 weeks, just to give people a broader sense of who I am, where I'm coming from, my sense of humor, my priorities, what the show's about, how frequently folks can connect to it, what they can expect, what the charism is, and what I'm not going to be doing. And that sort of thing. And I'm, by God's grace and dumb luck, we are, the last time I checked, there were almost 80 listener reviews. Most of them were completely unfamiliar names. They weren't necessarily people who knew me from Catholic Answers Live. There was one 4-star out of 5 review. The others were 5-star out of 5, which blew my mind.
Nice.
So I think the mission of the show to uncover and revivify and strengthen the Judeo-Christian roots of America and the West has certainly hit a nerve. We are not politically correct. We don't put a lot of varnish on it, but we do it with a certain levity that catches people a little bit off guard in a good way. I don't want to be a far right wing red meat, rah, 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 you know, we're going to hell in a handbasket kind of thing. Yeah. But on the other hand, there are serious issues, and it's been a lot of fun. We've been downloaded over across the U.S. and Canada and Mexico and Guatemala and Australia and Japan and the UK. And so patrickcoffin.media is the hub. That's the homepage. And if you want to throw us a shekel or two, we have an inside club, if you will. We've affectionately named it Coffin Nation. and I do an hour free webinar on Fridays called Ask Away Friday. So we have a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
I can actually vouch for that. I'm part of Coffin Nation, so I can actually vouch that it is a lot of fun. I enjoy the Friday live webinars. It's a lot of fun. I think that somebody else who really enjoys it, have you ever heard of a lady by the name of Margot?
No, Margot Basso. I don't know why the last name just suddenly. No, this is not ringing a bell. I'm sorry.
She definitely enjoys it as well.
Yeah, that's a study in understatement. Well played, sir.
Great. She's a great gal. I've enjoyed watching her on social media. But
she sent me a Facebook request recently. So we're friends on Facebook, and for some reason, I felt like I had arrived.
Yeah, it's like now, like us as a cat, you know, we're just climbing the ranks, and now like Margot's
but
has
if,
now.
Yeah,
asked
she wants
us.
To be my Facebook friend. It's like,
yeah, we're
know,
stepping
I
up
think
in the
I'm
game.
Doing something like, right.
It's the online equivalent of realize you're being parodied on Saturday Night Live. You've arrived. It's here.
Okay,
you can just rest. Yeah.
Before we get too close to the end, let's do the first thing that we do every man show.
I need to wet my whistle a little bit.
Yeah, me too. We are going to have a staple that we've talked about many of times.
So this is also the first time we're doing a repeat on the beverage.
Yes, yes.
But for good reason.
But for good reason.
Yeah.
The last time Patrick Coffin came onto our show, we talked about Laphroaig 10-year, and we thought, you know what? Why not? Let's make it a tradition. If we can have him, if we can coerce him into coming onto our show with a little bit of Laphroaig, we can do it. So without further ado, and Patrick's in with Laphroaig with his Catholic Man Show Glencairn glass, which is about the only way to drink Laphroaig, right?
It is. I've been demoing other glasses because I would like to replicate you, and as one of the things I will be replicating is the glorious Glencairn shape. I'm going to be having my own iteration. The etchings are beautiful on this. I've already expressed my undying envy of your fine logo there with the double hatchets, if you will, which to me evoke the firemen of old, back when you were still allowed to call them firemen. But the shape of the glass really brings the palate nose component, you know, the olfactory dimension right there. And with Laphroaig, you have this peaty, oaky, you know, smoky thing. It's a even before it hits your mouth, though. So
yeah,
it's
no
great.
Kidding.
Okay, so without further ado,
we're on
the Lord's team.
The Lord's team, the winning side.
Yep. So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
Wow.
Jesus. May
cheers to Jesus.
You drink in moderation and share in excess.
I like it. It's very Chestertonian.
And once again, I mean, I tell you what, if you if you like peat, if you like a scotch, Laphroaig 10 is the way to go.
Yeah. All of our listeners, I think by this point, are very familiar with our undying love for Laphroaig. Actually, Adam even got me a Laphroaig Christmas sweater. It is awesome.
Oh, that's swag cubed right there.
And I wore it after Christmas. I was so proud of it. You know, it's like, it's one thing to wear a Christmas sweater. It's another thing to wear one in January. Just totally
please
different.
Please tell me
feel.
It's ugly.
Yeah.
Is it ugly?
No.
It's like a replica, but it has a little bit of class to it.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's...
Okay.
It's, it kind of feels...
But I mean ugly in the redeemed sense of manly ugly. Like,
yeah, there's something
unique,
of that
unique.
Going on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not
oh, go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Just kind of distinguish it from the bland J. Crew style of menswear, which is now rather unisex.
Right.
Yeah.
So an ugly sweater is better than that, in my humble view. Sorry, Adam. Go ahead.
That's okay. No. I was just, for those who may this be the first time they're listening to the Catholic Man Show and they're wondering why we drink on air, Patrick, you know, one of the virtues that we try to highlight on the show is moderation, which is a virtue that you probably know that this culture is not pushing at this point. And so we want to, you know, give this opportunity to say, you know, most men, any man can go out and get drunk, you know, and drink in excess, but it takes a true man to drink in moderation. And so that's why we do it on air.
Unless he can't because he's an alcoholic. Right. And that's a separate topic for a different show.
And that's different moderation for him. And so all moderation looks different for everybody. So
That's true. And well, we've really dumbed down moderation, haven't we? Mm-hmm. What is moderation now? We talk about, moderate Muslim. Moderate. You want to love your wife moderately? You know, I picture this book, 700-page book, and it's beautiful. It's got leather and gold lace, you know, on the cover, and it's called Great Moderates of History. And you open it up, and it's just blank pages. So there's a redeemed sense of moderation, and then there's the, the cliche model, which we don't want to follow. But that's a very, very important virtue because it kind of it controls the other ones, right? You don't want to be lukewarm or tepid, but that's not what moderate means.
Right.
Moderate's more like, I had a great spiritual director in Canada, the late great Father John McGoey, and he used to liken chastity to any virtue, but he said chastity is to the sexual desire what a budget is to your finances. I thought that is great. Because money's not evil in itself. It's the love of money.
Right.
Nothing wrong with sex desire. God's a genius. It's when that becomes a small g god that things become chaotic. So, yes. So, cheers to moderation.
That's right.
Yes. Cheers.
So, when we get back, we're going to... I hear the music coming right now. Boom. Just like it's on cue. When we get back, we're going to get into the second part of the show. The man here... I'm Adam Minahan, sitting here with David Niles and our friend, guest, Patrick Coffin from the Patrick Coffin Show. We're on the Lord's team,
the winning side.
So raise your glass.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back. Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles. Sitting here in studio with Adam Minahan, we are joined by the great Patrick Coffin. We're drinking some Laphroaig, and I was just thinking that someone should write an ode to Laphroaig. It seems worthy of music. That's just the way I feel.
Or a haiku.
Ooh.
Haikus aren't big anymore. Why not?
They're not even medium sized. That's true. C.S. Lewis once remarked, I think it was in Surprised by Joy, and I hope I can say this. Too late, I'm going to say it! he was lamenting the fact that there's been no poetry that we know of that that gives glory to the experience of using the bathroom, like going number one when you really have to go. Then you finally, you know, he said, why aren't there any poets? There's no poems written about this. So, sorry that you had to hear that.
That
I see
is
you guys
a good
frantically
question.
Trying to edit that out, suckers.
And we don't edit, so there you go.
We just say like,
edit,
we're not going to do
it. We'll align
that.
To it. Edit, schmed it.
Yeah. Okay, so the man gear for today, I am pleased to announce, is a wedding ring.
I think that I'm surprised. Yeah, boom. I'm surprised that we haven't even done that before.
I have a tungsten carbide wedding ring.
So do I.
It's almost indestructible.
Oh, man. Tungsten carbide.
Yeah.
That sounds... can I say badassery? I can.
Yeah, sure. Just say it.
That partakes. It partakes. Look at that. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mine is white gold, which reminds me of the lyrics from the Beverly Hillbillies. Texas gold. Yeah. Yes.
Pretty good.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. Proud to wear it.
You know, so we have a lot of people who aren't married who are listening to this, I'm sure, but that's okay.
Well, at least like half of our listeners, because I think we have 14 now, so probably half of them maybe not be married, so at least 7 of them.
Yeah, okay. You know, anywhere between 7 and another number.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's okay, because, you know, Wedding ring, fatherhood, you know, all of these things. Every man is going to be married to something, whether it's the church or a woman. I can't really think of anything else you'd be married to from a vocational standpoint, but you know, you're going to have a, you know, you're going to be dedicating your life to something. So you can just kind of put whatever we say in terms of that. Just like fatherhood, every man, you know, there's an element of fatherhood in their life, regardless of how many kids you have.
Mm-hmm. And even if you have none, men are called to fatherhood.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah. Like Pope Francis. He doesn't have any kids.
Yep.
But we still call him Papa.
Yep.
One thing that I always think about with the wedding ring that I never thought about until I got married is that it is a sacramental. It's a blessed item. You know, I carry my rosary in my pocket. It's a sacramental. It's blessed. But people don't often regard their wedding ring, I think, as a sacramental or something to be used in the spiritual life. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, the church says for all, you know, for the devout use of sacramentals, there is at least a partial indulgence to be gained. So think about that with your wedding ring, because I'm sure it applies. Mm-hmm.
When folks like our Jehovah's Witness brethren say no to things like birthday celebrations and voting and Christmas and that sort of thing, most Jehovah's Witness folk do have their wedding ring on their left middle, you know, the fourth finger of the left hand. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of the Vena Amoris tradition?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this literally means vein of love. The Latins believe that. And I think the Egyptians.
Uh-oh, we may have lost Patrick right there. Oh. You're good.
Sorry.
You're good.
You still hear me?
Yep.
The Egyptians.
Actually, I included that sound bump on purpose. It's part of my sound effects repertoire. Yeah, so the Egyptians and the Romans believe that this vein went from your fourth finger directly to the heart. Hence, this is the chosen location of the ring. Of course, the ring symbolizes eternity and permanence and fidelity. It's perfectly round. There's no, you know, you're participating in the same corner-free. Think of how marriage is a kind of a circle, right? Where you and your wife are in that circle, and it's your zone, and it's not diaphanous. You don't go out, and others don't come in. It's that bubble. And just one note, and maybe we can talk a little bit about this. I'm sure you have on other shows, and that is a lot of Catholic men and women too, because we're so soaked by this culture and we get messages from it all the time. We think of our relationship with our children as kind of they're equal, right? So there's the invisible string of the daddy love to the kids and then the mommy love to the kids. And aren't we, this is one happy family. Well, that's not the divine order. The kids are supposed to come third. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ first, spouse second, and from those loves, then you can focus on number three. And that's when number three are actually treated the way they should be, because they're the recipient of an ordered set of loves on mom's part and dad's part. Mm-hmm. And to me, this is all wrapped up in the simplicity of the round ring. All I have to say.
And what's up with a lot of guys now, it's cool or it's like this thing now for guys not to wear a wedding ring, even when they're married.
Oh, is that coming back?
Yeah, that's coming. You know, when I'm in the business world and I'm walking around, you know, I'm a sales guy by trade. So I'm walking into a bunch of different offices, meeting a bunch of new people every day. And you can always see, oh, this guy's married because he has his pictures of his family and things like that, but he doesn't have a wedding ring on. It's like, I don't understand why guys would do that. That's really, like, to me, it's just like you're bringing on, I don't know, unneeded temptation on yourself.
Has anyone ever given a rationale?
No.
I've never heard one.
At least I haven't actually probably confronted them about it.
I know that there was a generation a few back where men, it was more common that they didn't wear one, but I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
But I like wearing mine.
I can only think of one reason.
Right. I know. Me too.
Yeah, I know.
That's I don't know. Actually, there is one other reason. Yeah. I'll give you one other reason. You ready? My dad didn't wear a wedding ring for a little while, but it's because he has gargantuan hands. And his ring literally broke on his finger because his finger swelled up. Yep. And he never got one. He didn't get one for a little while because it took, like, I think he's like size 14 or 15 ring size, which is huge.
Yeah. Well, not everyone is your dad.
Yeah.
But yeah, that could be sudden weight gain. I mean, there are medical reasons why,
right,
and so on.
Right.
But to me, I always, whenever I see, let's see, there are certain priests who they become kind of celebrities or they're scholars, and all of their promo photos have them in a natty suit and tie. To me,
yeah,
the Roman collar is such a beautiful public sign. And it may not be an actual sacramental, as David, you were saying, but it is certainly small s sacramental in that if you see, let's say, a young priest or someone, let's say a religious sister in the airport or on the street or in a restaurant, I invariably will thank them. Hey, Father, thanks for wearing the collar. Even if it ends up being a Protestant minister who's wearing a Roman collar, because that could be an actual grace for someone walking by. Maybe someone has a bad conscience. Maybe someone will be thinking, that's a good looking man. He seems successful and confident, but he chose to do this. Wonder what that is.
Yeah.
And that opportunity, of course, is lost when priests are out of their clerics.
Yeah, totally.
Not to judge. Who am I?
You know, Patrick,
just saying.
You're big into changing the culture, healing the culture. That's, you know, kind of one of your main themes. Seeing a priest day to day, you know, that is a little thing that makes a big difference. You know, one of the things that I mourn, I don't know, maybe mourn's a little bit too dramatic of a word, but you just don't see religious sisters walking around very often anymore. I don't know if you do in California, but here in Tulsa, there's just, man, I can't remember ever seeing one in public.
Very rarely.
And it seems like, you know, my grandparents' generation would talk about, oh yeah, well, everybody, there was always a religious community in town, it seemed like. Or they were all, yep, at least taught by nuns, you know.
And they were, it was just what was done.
Yeah.
All the time you went out, and now when I see, you know, you see a gaggle of National Dominicans or Carmelites, the Carmelites and the Dominicans are out here on the West Coast as well, and they typically walk in bunches, you know, together, and they're always invariably happy.
Yeah,
and there's sort of a walking ad for the consecrated life. I agree. I think the church as a subtle sign in the world to a greater world is diminished by lack of the habit in public. Yeah. I agree. Mm-hmm.
But I have hope, because it seems like there is certainly an uptick in the religious life vocation.
Yes, thanks be to God.
Yeah, which is awesome.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
One last thing about the wedding ring.
Okay.
When I was proposing to my wife, I was thinking about, you know, oh, I need to do it on one knee, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, we genuflect to the tabernacle on our right knee. When you genuflect to God on your right knee, you kneel down before royalty on your left knee. So if you ever meet the Queen of England, you know, and you get down on one knee, don't use your right knee, use your left knee. Well, when you propose to a woman, typically you do it on your right knee. And I was trying to, you know, wrestling with what is the significance of that, and I kind of came to the conclusion that when you propose to a woman, it's almost like you're kneeling before the tabernacle that is woman. And just in all of her awe, you know, in her just the genius that is woman, everything about her, just how splendid she is. That was just something that kind of struck me.
Way to go, man. Way to end on a deep note.
I'm really glad my wife said yes, too.
Yeah, me too. That would have been awkward.
It's been a highlight. Anyway,
yo, Tambien.
We got to take a break. You're listening to the Catholic Man Show with Adam Minahan and David Niles. We're on the Lord's team,
the winning side.
So raise your glass. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, the raised side glass. I'm Adam Minahan, sitting here with David Niles and Mr. Patrick Coffin, drinking a little bit of Laphroaig Tin from our Catholic Man Show Glencairn glasses. We just got done talking a little bit about the wedding ring, which is a sacramental that most guys don't even think about, that it's a sacramental, like you were saying, Dave.
Yeah.
And actually, I'm gonna let Patrick introduce the topic.
Okay.
I think that would be like gentlemanly of us to allow.
I have some housekeeping I got to do.
Okay.
This is real quick.
Time out.
Okay, so a couple episodes back, we were talking about the scapular, and I mentioned that I wore a metal scapular, not the scapular metal, but metal. A scapular made of metal.
Mm-hmm.
And one of our guys, one of our listeners reached out to us and said, hey, I'm not sure that's legit. So I looked into it.
Called Catholic Answers.
I talked to Jimmy Akin. He told me what to do. I reached out to the head of the Carmelite order in Rome. And he wrote me back. And indeed, the metal scapular is not legit. So I have seen.
Interesting.
Switched to the wool scapular. Turns out, so when I bought it, I was told, oh, because it has the right images, it's legit. Turns out the images don't matter at all. The only thing that matters is that it's made of wool.
Yeah.
Wow, so, when you said...
And it's a habit.
Yeah,
like
because...
we were talking about last segment, see how it all ties together. It's a circle, right?
just like the wedding ring.
Just like
it's brilliant.
A circle.
Yes.
Brilliant. See, I start confused. When you said I have a metal... I heard the metal part. Metal scapular. I was thinking Slayer, Black Sabbath. That's crazy. Man, pre-evangelization. Wow. The new evangelization. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So it's not the imaging. It's really the material.
It is the wool. Yeah. Because it's a habit.
Mm.
So there you go.
It's a habit.
That's right. It's tough to kick.
So, Patrick,
yeah.
We'll let you introduce the topic that we're going to be talking about for this segment and next. Go.
The sacramental known as the wedding ring, which is not just lovely in its symbolism of a kind of a precinct, you know, a circular precinct where you and your wife sink deep into this wonderful friendship and sexual union called marriage. It's unique in all the world. It's the ultimate form of friendship between two sexually attracted people. It involves the adventure of you know, children and all that servant leadership and that whole capital A adventure. It's also a sign to other people that you are taken. And by taken, you don't mean stolen away. You mean you chose to be taken. And some of our pop culture kind of rubs me the wrong way. And one is the image of marriage as ball and chain.
Yeah.
You have these bachelor parties where the best entertainment's supposed to be looking at a naked woman in a club somewhere. That's going to be good training for donating yourself to one woman. Explain this to me. The ball and chain thing is doesn't work for me. And I think it's important, and this is the third thing I want to get into, is the habit that many men, maybe most men have, of making off-the-cuff remarks that are not complimentary to their wives. And it's not just in the locker room. It's not just in, you know, on the golf course. It's part of the fabric of men's conversations with other men. And I think it stinks. I think we should be praising our wives, especially maybe when there are other women there. It's just a little cue along with the wedding ring that you are engaged to someone else permanently. You have said yes, yeah, back that day in the church in front of the altar, but you're also saying yes every day. And one good way to say yes every day is to pepper your conversations with affectionate references to your wife, how great she is, the fact that you can't figure out why she said yes. If you look at the way adultery happens, it doesn't happen, you know, one day you're happily married, the next day you wake up in a hotel room with, you know, Mrs. Wrong. It happens one little inch at a time, and often for very human, even understandable reasons. Maybe the husband is lonely, or the wife is the husband wakes up after a certain number of years and realizes, I married a sinner. How did this happen? And so people outside that ring, that circle of that love precinct, right?
Right.
Begin to look more attractive, mm-hmm. and probably in a way that they wouldn't if you weren't married. So if you add in the taboo of, oh, this is sort of a forbidden thing, and then you get the series of lies like, this woman understands me, my wife doesn't understand me. One good antidote to that is to praise your wife in public, mm-hmm. in mixed company, but especially among other men. I think it sends a message that you are committed, that this is your best friend. And You know, gossip is, I call it the mildest form of murder, mm-hmm. right? You're attacking someone's good name, their reputation. And I don't think it's funny. I don't think like wife jokes are terribly funny. And so I think it's a good manly virtue to build up. And that is to habitually say nice things about your wife, how, you know, how great she is, how patient she is, a good mom and so on. And it sends a message, right? Like the wedding ring, it telegraphs, I'm happily unavailable. And even if my own marriage is difficult or I'm going through a rough patch, I'm still married.
Right.
If you analyze, I love doing this. You guys could do a whole series on this, I'm sure. And that is just analyzing the Catholic wedding vows. Mm-hmm. What you say, I will and I do too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your feelings are not mentioned in the document.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And so even St. John Paul II, I mean, he said it was the duty of every man to uphold the dignity of every woman. And obviously it would have to be including your wife.
Yeah, you know, no doubt.
Up to the utmost.
Uh-huh.
Which would go into absolutely not saying anything bad about your wife. You can't break her down. She deserves more than that.
Right, absolutely. When my wife and I got married, this is one of the things that we discussed, and we promised to each other that we would never
talk bad about
the other one in public.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one difficult thing is when there is something that you're struggling with, you know, like you want advice on, you know, oh, yeah, my wife and I or my spouse and I are just, we're dealing with this. I'm not sure what to do, you know, and I think a lot of guys will run to their parents especially maybe women are more likely mm-hmm. to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I just think discussing marital problems with your parents is a terrible idea.
Complete no-go.
Yeah.
Complete no-go.
I mean, I think maybe if you have to, you know, you can pick a friend who knows you both really well so that when you discuss the problems with your spouse, they know that your spouse is a good person. And, you know, and this is, you know, that you just need advice. But, you know, that's just a situation you got to be very, very careful doing.
Yeah.
And really, these things you should discuss with your spouse. You know, if you're having a problem with your spouse, you should talk about it.
And tell her who you're talking to about it.
Yeah.
So there's not one more secret.
Absolutely.
And look at first the reference in Genesis that is included in every Catholic wedding, where the man leaves his mother and father. That it's that leaving, right? Leaving, and you cleave to your wife. Mm-hmm. You're not supposed to scurry back when things go in difficult ground. And every marriage has. It's not a royal road of bliss. I've never heard of a marriage that didn't have speed bumps and unexpected turns and twists and challenges. You're talking about the union of two sinners, two imperfect beings mm-hmm. who often, you know, in the weeks up leading up to marriage, you really don't know what you're walking into, which is why living together is probably the biggest mistake in the history of mankind. Likening living together and sexual union and all the things that go along with cohabiting, likening that to buying a new pair of shoes. Well, I'd never buy, you know, but think of it how horrible that is. You're stepping on the person symbolically in this metaphor.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think disclosing the secrets, so to speak, or the inner conflicts with parents and family of origin, big mistake.
Yeah.
Kind of a low level betrayal in my view.
You know, you said, you know, you kind of mentioned how there's the common joke about, oh, the ball and chain. That really just doesn't make any sense to me. For me, my marriage was a huge upgrade. I mean, a ball and chain was really the last analogy that would ever fit what I have going on back at home, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. And I just think of it as a big Viking, like double axe, destroying the ball and chain, which is unhappy bachelorhood. That's what it was for me.
Yeah.
So it's like, it was reverse the image and I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yep.
So, but yes, I totally agree with what you're saying. You should never, ever, 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 ever talk bad. I mean, you shouldn't talk bad about people in general, but your wife should be the last person that you ever disparage in front of another person.
So real quick before we hit the break, I'm going to give you what a very holy priest said at my homily at my wedding.
Okay.
Monsignor Patrick Gallus from the Tulsa Diocese. Since we've been talking about shapes with the wedding ring.
Yeah.
He gave mm-hmm. this analogy of the triangle. And at the head of the triangle is our Lord. And at each side is man and wife. Mm-hmm. And notice, as each man and woman get closer to God up in the triangle, what happens? They get closer to each other.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And when he made that analogy, I was, or, you know, that depiction, I was like, that is so true. I mean, that couldn't be more true. The closer you get to God, the closer you will absolutely, the more intimate you will be with your wife.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
And, you know,
that's a real simple, clean image right there.
Yeah.
And that's not just true in marriage. That's true in a dating relationship. We need
absolutely.
To do another complimentary episode to this one that talks about the nature of a dating relationship as mm-hmm. opposed to a married relationship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dave, I completely agree. I think we definitely have to do a whole nother segment on that. But for married couples, I mean, husbands, you have to love your wives well. I mean, not only for your wives, but for your children, because your children are noticing how you treat her. You're teaching your sons how to treat a woman, and you're teaching your daughters mm-hmm. what they should expect from a man. And so the only way that they're going to know how to treat a woman and how to be treated as a woman is how you treat your wife. So anyway, treat your wives well is what I'm trying to say. We're here with Pastor Coffin. I'm Adam and Ann with David Niles. Dave, we are on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back, brothers, to the Catholic Man Show. This year's David Niles, sitting in studio with Adam Minahan. We are joined by Patrick Coffin today. Today we are drinking a fine glass of Lafroy 10-year, and I must say that I am the proud owner of a 1 square foot of property mm-hmm. on the Lafroy place.
Yeah, distillery.
Islay, the island of Islay. Me too.
Yes.
Yes.
Proud. One day I will go and I will see my 1 square foot, and it will be a good day.
I like to stand there with one stilt. on that 1 square foot of my Scottish land.
Take my picture before I fall. But Patrick, you know, we're drinking Lafroig today because you are a kindred brother and lover of Lafroig. What else?
Yes, indeed.
What else is Patrick Coffin? If they were to build a nation around you, what would it look like?
It would have, wow. Blew the nerf out of Wrigley Field. Yes, thank you for that, David. My middle name's David, by the way, so there's another layer of simpatico. Yeah, Coffin Nation is the affectionate name for the tribe of people who want to bring back Fedora values, the people who want to not turn the clock back, but turn the clock forward. And this is why I call my show, I've sort of adopted a couple of different taglines. One of them is progressive traditionalism. Okay, so I want to be open to truth wherever it is, but I also want to be rooted. I want to have wings, but I want to have roots. And Coffin Nation is the name of the people who are devoted to recovering the foundations of America, the DNA of the story, which has been damaged by the environment. It's been damaged by bad Supreme Court decisions. It's been damaged by inventions like the birth control pill and mm-hmm. the normalization of pornography and the redefinition of marriage. It's all gone the wrong direction. And there's only one way forward, and that's back to our roots. And so for folks who come to the homepage at patrickcoffin.media, if you throw us a little donation, we can put you into a 90-day free setup on Coffin Nation, which gives you access to upcoming deals, sales, my newsletter, The Inside Scoop, and Ask Away Friday. So every Friday afternoon, for an hour, we do a free webinar where it's Ask Away. Sometimes we pick topics. Sometimes the Coffin Nation members will ask me questions, maybe to stump me or get my take on something. And it's a lot of fun. We've got people from all over the world now. There's 2 or 3 continents represented by Coffin Nation. And it's moving toward a membership site, which is going to have premium content for folks who are members. And I want to do, in fact, I'm just starting to write the scripts now for a video series called The Fact Is. These are myth-busting, under 4 minutes, animation, comedy-based. So things like, what's the fact about the Crusades? What's the fact about the way the birth control pill was marketed? The fact that women have always been the guinea pigs to big pharma to experiment on them so that men can have sexual playthings. Mm-hmm. What's the truth about the effect of pornography on your brain? What's the truth about the divorce rate? So kind of hot button things that a lot of Catholics and others get asked about at parties and gatherings, and they don't really have an answer. They don't realize that half the things that are sold by our pop culture are completely bogus. So it's kind of an antidote to that. But the three magic words to the podcast, which will always be free, are subscribe, rate, and review. So if you go to patrickcoffin.media, go to the show tab, you can listen to my fine interview with y'all. Did I pronounce it correctly? Y'all?
Yeah, that's very Oklahoma.
You nailed it.
Yeah.
You nailed it.
Is Oklahoma technically the South? Help me with this.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, we're South.
All right.
If nothing else, by our values.
What's that?
I said, if nothing else, by our values.
By our values. Okay. Yeah. Priorities. So that's it. That's what, that's Coffination. And I think the fact that you're enjoying 10-year Laphroaig and you have these amazing glasses and the retro font, and my font, of course, incorporates the, I don't know if you can see that in the background. Yeah. There's the,
yep.
Yeah. Okay.
The fedora. That just kind of came to me one day. Now, David, I noticed you smoke a pipe.
I do.
And kudos to you. I do as well. There's a magnificent store. If you're ever in Southern California, please connect with me because I want to take you to Ed Colpin's Tinderbox.
Okay.
On Wilshire Boulevard. It's where Cary Grant and Bing Crosby and all the classics from that golden era went to have their pipes hand carved. Great spot.
Awesome.
Looks like a little cross between Narnia and Lord of the Rings. It's just beautiful little spot. But you probably had this experience, David, and if you smoke a pipe as well, Adam, yep. No one ever complains. No one ever says, "That stinks. Turn it off. Shut it."
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
They say that reminds me of my grandfather, my uncle, and yeah. Same with the fedora. I'll get a little. Someone will, especially Adam, you've probably had this happen at an airport or walking down the street. Someone's also got a fedora. You just do the.
Yep. Gotcha.
It's cool. Gotcha.
Yep.
So that's that in a macadamia nutshell.
I like it. So. If you enjoy Laphroaig, these are signs that you might also enjoy Coffin Nation.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
If you enjoy the fedora, this is another sign. Mm-hmm. So head over to patrickcoffin.media and just see what it's about.
Yep.
Signs of the times.
So we're talking about
yep.
loving your wife, loving your spouse. If you're a priest, you can translate what we're saying into loving the church, loving your parish. You are a very, very well-read individual. Do you have any book recommendations for men who just want to go deeper into the topic, deeper than a podcast could ever go?
I do. I have a couple of them. I am an avid reader. I've been an avid reader since I was about -2. My mother
impressive
tells me I was even while I was still an idea in God's mind.
Right.
Somehow I read a lot. I love reading, but I'm very slow. My 14-year-old daughter is 8 times faster than I am. But I do enjoy reading, and I love reading things that are life changers for me, that when I'm finished, I know this is a book I'm going to reread. So these are the only books I recommend. I get asked to review books and give blurbs. A lot of them are not all that great, but what I'll share with you now are these are books that can really put lead in your pencil. They can really supercharge what you have going on. One is Mental Health Through Will Training.
Okay.
It's by a guy called Dr. Abraham Lowe, who is a Jewish neuropsychiatrist, died in 1954, and he's the founder of an organization, now it's called Recovery International. And Dr. Lowe, I've learned so much about, just about emotional maturity and keeping a sense of balance. He's really drawing from what I would say, crypto-Catholic Thomist anthropology. And his insight is that the seat of the human person is the will. Your will controls your thoughts. You can't control sensations. You can't even technically control feelings. But you can realize that feelings and sensations can sometimes be disturbing, but they're not dangerous. So Dr. Lowe works with with people with all kinds of neuroses and pretty severe depressions, phobias. I've just learned a ton. And the book to get is a summary of his whole thought. It's called Mental Health Through Will Training. You were talking about the will earlier, Adam, mm-hmm. In terms of virtue. And when the will is the captain, then the ship runs well. So that's Mental Health Through Will Training, Abraham Lowe. Lowe as in opposite of high.
Okay.
Another book I recommend is by Father Eddie Doherty. He wasn't a priest when he wrote this. He was a Melkite Rite priest and the husband of Servant of God Catherine Doherty. The book is called Gall and Honey, and it's Eddie Doherty's memoirs of his reversion to the faith, his loss of not one but two wives. His both two wives died tragically. And Gall and Honey, of course, a reference to the gall that our Lord was made to drink on the cross, but also the honey, the sweetness of life. He writes with a really manly economy. He's savagely funny and very, I think it will resonate with you and your listeners. So it's called Gall and Honey by Eddie Doherty. And finally, a new book that I was recommended to read by my good friend Patrick Lencioni. And it's got kind of a weird cover, and I wasn't really crazy about the cover. And it was self-published, which I thought, oh, how good this is going to be. I just finished it. It's 400 pages. I wish it was 4,000. It's by John Carmichael. It's called Drunks and Monks.
Okay.
Jennifer Fulweiler, who I'm sure you know from her great show on Sirius and The Conversion Diary and Something Other Than God. Jennifer's blurb is this. Drunks and Monks is this generation's The Seven-Story Mountain by Thomas Merton. I thought, wow, that's
high
pretty
praise.
Bold.
Yeah.
It's high praise, and I have to agree with her. It is unusually good. It's about John's PTSD, his alcoholism, his drug addiction, the loss of his marriage when his mother was dying of cancer, and his discovery of the Holy Liturgy and how that completely changed everything. But he writes with a hilarious Irish kind of dark sense of humor. It's manly. It's deep. It's light. I'm not crazy about the phrase a page turner, but this thing had me up much later than I should have stayed up reading it. So Mental Health Through Will Training by Abraham Lowe, Gall and Honey by Eddie Doherty, and Drunks and Monks by John Carmichael. Just go to Amazon and check out the reviews for Drunks and Monks, and I think you'll be won over.
It sounds like a title I can get behind.
Mm-hmm.
It just sounds like there's going to be some good stuff here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we just got a couple minutes left.
Not even. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really. We've been drinking Lafroy 10-year.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about a wedding ring. Mm-hmm. Talking about how to serve your wife and why that's important, especially uplifting her with your words and not putting her down.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, just go do something nice for her. Do something unexpected. Give her a compliment. Dance with her in the kitchen. You know what? She deserves it.
Because she married you.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
She gave her whole life to
yes.
you. Yeah.
So, Patrick, I thank you so much for coming onto the show. It's been a pleasure, as always. We'll have to do it again very soon. Check out Patrick Thomas, patrickthomas.media. Join Patrick,
Coffin Nation.
Excuse me, just say it again. Coffin Nation at patrickcoffin.media. See? Upward bounces. Upward bounces.
There it is. Patrick's picking up what I'm putting down. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.